Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Now we're getting serious.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. We've known Delta Airlines and Northwest Airlines have been talking about a merger. Well, this morning there are reports a deal could be announced as early as next week. A marriage of Delta and Northwest would create the nation's largest carrier. There's also word about United Airlines and Continental getting serious about a union. The big question is whether any of these deals will improve service. Last year was the second worst ever for flight delays, but the problem may not be with the airlines, as Rachel Dornhelm reports.
The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says it knows why delays were so bad last year. Vice President Paul Rinaldi says controllers are retiring at record rates. Those left are handling more traffic than ever. So Rinaldi says controllers have to space flights farther apart for safety, especially at large airports.
On a regular, clear day, you look at the New York area, they're running delays at about 30%, and that is built strictly off the air traffic control staffing crisis.
The FAA absolutely disagrees with that.
FAA spokesperson Diane Spitaleri.
We've looked at it, and the data does not suggest a correlation between delays and staffing shortages.
Spitaleri says weather, scheduling problems, and mechanical issues cause delays. She says there are isolated incidents where too many controllers out sick do slow traffic. But she says the FAA is working to recruit new hires. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Well, it was a bumpy flight for Wall Street yesterday. One Fed official rattled the market with a warning about higher inflation. We had the Dow dropping 65 to 12,200. The S&P fell 10 points. The Nasdaq lost 30. Asian markets were mixed overnight. In Japan, the Nikkei edged higher, but the market in Hong Kong fell 5%. In Europe at this hour, stock markets are down. Many of the big Wall Street banks are now owned in part by sovereign wealth funds from Asia and the Mideast. It's all because the credit crunch left the banks in desperate need of financing. Morgan Stanley sold 5% to China's sovereign wealth fund. Not everyone thinks that's a good idea. Today in Washington, there's a hearing on what China's investment means for the U.S. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
University of California business professor Peter Navarro is testifying at today's hearing. He sees China's sovereign wealth fund as an economic threat, particularly if it takes a controlling stake in a U.S. company.
Rather than produce in the U.S., they might offshore more jobs to China. They can influence where research and development is conducted. Rather than do it in Silicon Valley, they might do it in Dalian or Shanghai.
Funds can't buy more than 9.9% of a U.S. company without sparking a security review by the Treasury Department. Still, Navarro isn't convinced the Treasury has the political will to block a big deal. But Stanford economist Ronald McKinnon says China's fund is nothing to fear.
I don't think there's some diabolical puppeteer behind this deciding to pick off U.S. industries.
He says China's just fed up of making paltry returns on U.S. Treasury bonds, and snapping up American assets through its sovereign wealth fund is a way to make more money on overseas investments. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Later this morning, the major retailers will report monthly sales. These numbers will probably be pretty dismal. We already know Macy's had a tough January. Sales dropped 7% from last year. That's led Macy's to restructure and cut 2,300 management jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at grantthornton.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
There are now stricter travel rules when crossing the U.S. borders with Mexico and Canada. Gone are the days when you could simply state your nationality to a border agent. If you're a U.S. citizen re-entering the country, you need a passport or a driver's license. So how are these changes playing out in business on the border? Texas Public Radio's David Martin Davies has the story from Laredo.
Laredo's Walmart is one of America's busiest. It's 3 miles from the Mexican border. Mexican shoppers cross the nearby bridges legally every day to shop there. They boost Laredo's retail sales by about 40%. Traffic coming over the bridges has always been jammed, but Roger Creary of the Laredo Development Foundation says now it's even slower because of all the Americans waiting in line to have border agents inspect their documents.
At what point does the Mexican consumer say, wait a minute, I'm not going to sit an extra 6, 8, 10 hours in line at the U.S. border to go over and shop? I'm just not going to do it anymore.
As a businessman, Creary wants to keep the customers happy. But the Department of Homeland Security wants to do what it takes to keep the U.S. safe. Rick Falza is a spokesman for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection stationed in Laredo.
The whole idea is, you know, to prevent someone like a terrorist from coming in and pretending they're a U.S. citizen.
According to the U.S. government, between October and December of last year, 1,500 people claimed falsely that they were U.S. citizens at U.S. ports of entry. The new program is working to ferret out even more pretenders that the government thinks have been crossing the border. Paulza says that isn't slowing things down, but business leaders like Creary say Washington just doesn't get the economic implications.
I think we all recognize that we have to be able to strike a balance between the safety and security of our nation and the future development of a vibrant economy throughout the United States, certainly along the border.
James Gerber, an economist at San Diego State University, says Washington is willing to sacrifice business for the sake of security. American car part factories, for example, depend on nearby Mexican factories for just-in-time components like seatbelts. So a slowdown at the border can snarl up more than just traffic. In Laredo, Texas, I'm David Martin Davies for Marketplace.
You can hear all the stories we're covering on the Morning Report podcast. It's available for your download at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.